Last summer, David Harrison went to a remote corner of central Siberia in search of something he really wasn't sure still existed. He found it. This is what it was. It was a language, Middle Chulim, the ancestral tongue of the Chulim people. David Harrison is an assistant professor of linguistics at Swarthmore College. He joins us from Philadelphia. First of all, who are these people, and how did you know about the language if you weren't sure it still existed?
Well, they're a Turkic people, and they're native to Siberia. They're an indigenous Siberian tribe. Traditionally, they've been hunter-gatherers and fishermen. And I knew about the language because it is mentioned in some of the historical sources.
How many people speak this language?
Out of 426 registered members of the tribe, I believe there are between 35 to 40 speakers, and the youngest speaker is 52 years old.
Now, I played a bit of your field recording. Let's hear that again, and perhaps you can tell us what's going on in this. Man and a woman talking.
Yes, the man is the youngest fluent speaker of the language. He's 52 years old. And here he's attempting to start a conversation with probably the oldest living speaker. She's in her mid-90s. And asking her, what year were you born?
Well, clearly, if very few people still speak the language, and the youngest fluent speaker, you say, is 52 years old, this is a dying language.
I wouldn't say dying, but we would say moribund. That just means that it's very likely to die off unless something really unusual happens. And of course, the youngest speakers are getting older, and there are no children learning the language.
How was it that this people and their language were overlooked in the Soviet era, or were many such peoples overlooked in the Soviet era?
There were. There are many indigenous peoples of Siberia, ranging from groups of several hundred thousand down to groups of just a few dozen. And decisions about who was officially recognized as an ethnic group were made in Moscow. So just like in the U.S., so Native American groups have to petition the government to be officially recognized. In Russia, they also had to petition the government to be officially recognized. And this group was so small that they had been recognized as part of a larger group in the past, but in the 1950s, they were lumped together with another big group to whom they're not actually very close. You have to keep in mind, this language has been not only marginalized, but actively repressed. So people who are in their 50s now were made to feel ashamed or perhaps punished for speaking the language when they were young school children. And under that kind of pressure, they decided to abandon the language.
You provided us with some other clips, including a couple of songs.
That's the first fluent speaker that I encountered on the expedition. He's singing a song there. I believe it's a song about getting prepared to go out hunting, and he mentions taking along some bread and potatoes. It was a great moment when he opened his mouth and produced the first Middle Chulim sentence that I was able to hear.
You figure that in Siberia, at least, there are other similar small groups with moribund languages still waiting to be recorded and heard by Westerners, or do you think you found about the last one in that part of the world?
No, I think there are quite a few other such groups, and I know a number of linguists working there. Oftentimes, when you go in to work on a language and you really delve into it, you discover that there's a kind of sense of urgency because there are more than 6,000 languages in the world. Probably about half of those are endangered and could disappear within this century, in fact. And of that number, I would say the large majority of them have never been adequately scientifically documented or described.
David Harrison, thank you very much for talking with us. David Harrison, linguist at Swarthmore College. We have one other recording. This is of a song, a woman singing in Chulim. I wonder, before you go, just tell us what we're about to hear.
She is spinning wool on a handheld device while she's singing it. So this is actually a wool spinning song.
Okay, and thanks a lot for talking to us about all this.
Thank you.
Kazuko yo,